Startup Stimmen, der Podcast für Gründungsinteressierte vom Reach Euregio Startup Center.
Welcome to another episode of the Dutch 40U Tech Startups Podcast. I'm your host, Vera Boertien, and I am so happy to tell you that we're recording this live from Enschede Sluis. And today we're going to talk about international working and living. And for that, I invited a couple of guests who are very experienced in doing so. Could you introduce yourself, maybe?
Sure. My name is Sharam Sharif. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm currently CEO of a company called Liba Healthcare. And I've been an entrepreneur for the past 10, 12 years in the field of medical technology.
Nice. Thank you. And next to you, we have Leah.
Hi, Vera. Yeah. So my name is Leah Milovic. I'm currently the CEO of Flowbeams, but I'm also a serial entrepreneur. It's my second spin-off from the University of Twente. Over 15 years already experience in international business management.
Well, thank you for sharing. And next to you, we have Marcel.
My name is Marcel Verheijen. I'm living in the San Francisco Bay Area. I am an entrepreneur by heart, and I support international companies who want to come to America. I am a co-founder of a company called Amplify Now Global, where we do business development for startup and scale-ups.
Cool. And you mentioned already that you're in the Bay Area?
Yes.
So are you from the Netherlands? Or
I'm born and raised in the Netherlands. I grew up in Enschede. That's why I'm probably back here home.
Welcome home.
I lived for the last 15 years in the United States, first in Los Angeles and now in San Francisco Bay Area.
And why did you make that decision to go there?
I came a couple of times to the U.S. I found as an entrepreneur, the climate for entrepreneurship is easier than in the Netherlands. With hindsight, I have a different view now after so many years. I can give you good advice what to do and not to do. I failed once. That's also an experience. I don't care to say it that I failed, although in European or the Dutch way, it's failure is not good. The Americans say you got experience.
Yeah.
What made me the move is the freedom. I think freedom in tax legislation, that kind of stuff, the openness, especially in Silicon Valley, pay it forward, they call it.
Yeah.
You can talk to people and they give you their secrets. And if you need something, they help you out getting the right person in the right time, or they make even the appointment for you. So
yeah.
It's very interesting working in the U.S. Although I work with a lot of start and scale-ups from Europe, and there is some discrepancies between how they perceive the U.S. and how we, as there's a group of Dutch people, European people, where we work with, how they see it, and there's a lot to learn.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing, and I'm sure we'll get back to some of the things you said later. But first, I want to hear from Sharam. Can you relate to his story? Was it the same for you?
Slightly different. My personal story is actually on different levels in terms of international experience. The first experience is me as a migrant. So I was born in Iran, and we moved with my family when I was younger to Enschede, of all places. So I grew up here as a teenager, went to the high school, and then I studied here in Twente.
Welcome home.
Thank you. So Enschede and Netherlands has a special place for me. And at some point professionally, after beginning my career, I moved to Belgium, of all places, Brussels. However, that was not a professional background. It was more a personal. I met my wife in Paris. We shuttled between Amsterdam and Paris for a couple of years, and then we said, let's meet halfway, literally. So that's a personal, you know, two times of major move personally. But then in between, my work has always been international. So one of the companies I founded in 2015 in a medtech, I expanded it across Europe, and then I expanded it to US. So I was living and working across Europe and US. I was moving back and forth. In 2018 and 2019, I probably spent half of my time in the U.S.
Right.
Currently, I'm the CEO of a company which is Danish-British. The team is, we're about 150 people, 150. Half of them are in Denmark, half of them are in Britain. I'm the CEO and I'm living in Brussels. So I'm basically everywhere. So I'm spending my time between Copenhagen, London, and my home office in Brussels.
Wow.
And then we have customers in four other countries.
Yeah.
So I've always been working very international. So the living aspect is one thing, but then working across countries in Europe, US, and other geographies has been always the, let's say, the norm in all my professional career.
Yeah.
Which is giving me a lot of very interesting learnings.
I can imagine.
I can maybe share some of it here.
Yeah. Well, we'll get back to that later as well. But first, to round it off, I want to hear from Leah's experience. I think yours is more similar to Sharam's as well, right?
Yeah, probably is. So for me, I already am about 19 years now in the Netherlands. I was born and raised first in Bosnia. And then in 92, when the war began there, we fled the country and we migrated to Israel, where I grew up till I was 20. And then when I was 20, I decided I want to go and study abroad. And that's how I came to the University of Twente and never thought that I would be staying here for so long. But I discovered that, I mean, the ecosystem, the opportunities here were so wonderful that I decided to stay.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, developing the business and working, it's a really great place to be here. Obviously, always having connections with other countries, whether it's with employment that we have, so the employees, the colleagues that we have, whether it's with other countries, investors that we are talking to, it always has to do with a broader aspect. Mm-hmm. But for us, at least now, for Flowbeams, the home base right now where we're starting is Enschede here in the Netherlands.
Yeah, because did you already go internationally with Flowbeams or not yet?
With Flowbeams, commercially, not yet. We're speaking to commercial companies that are interested in technology, and that is always outside of the scope of what they call the kicker lounge, so the Netherlands. But yeah, so in that way, yes. With the other startup that I'm involved with BubClean, we're selling worldwide. And right. Those are customers all over the world, from far Australia to the US to South America. So active actually everywhere there.
Yeah. And what I'm, because I hear stories, operating internationally, customers in different countries. And what struck me as being very interesting, what Marcel said, was the difference in mindset. Can you go into more depth about that? Because you mentioned that the mindset in the US is very different.
Yeah, the mindset in the US is
here.
More, it's a capital system, it's not social.
Right.
The question is always, if you talk to an American or American-based companies, what's in it for me?
Mm.
You have to keep that always in mind. That's their mindset. You want to do business with them, so you have to adapt a little bit to tell them what's in it for them.
Yeah.
The social security aspect makes living abroad, but also the business different. One of the things that in Europe and the Netherlands is you cannot be fired easily. In America, and I'm talking about California, is at will. That means you can be fired any minute.
Yeah.
That's also a mindset. People can lose their job overnight. That means that you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared what it happens. Somebody says you're two paychecks away from the street. Rent is pretty expensive, especially in the Bay Area. Payment systems are bi-weekly, so you get 26 payments a year.
Yeah.
And that says two payments away from the street means it a month. So everything is based on what's on it for me. That's the mindset, which is the basic mindset. There are much more things where we can discuss, but that I think that's the big nuances between the Netherlands and the US.
Yeah. Do you recognize some of that?
Yeah, and I actually wanted to pick up on that specific aspect of the labor conditions and the mindset. So I've had the experience on the other side of the game as an employer.
Right.
So I've hired teams in the US, in Netherlands, Belgium, France, Portugal, Denmark. So you get a sense of the differences in both mindset and also the systems, which are because of the mindsets. So in the US, for example, I've seen, how it works on both sides. So as an employer, it's relatively easier to hire and fire compared to most of the European countries.
Yeah.
And it has pros and cons. Because, you know, often in Europe, let's take Belgium or Netherlands or most European countries, the recruitment cycle is really long. Why? Because you want to make sure you're not taking a risk and making a bad hire, because you know that if you make a bad hire, it's going to cost you a lot of time and money to change it. In US, you can take more risk because you know that, okay, once the person is in, and you know what, 99% of the cases, you only know the person once they're in the job.
Yeah, right? So that's why fuck-ups are also less bad than here in the Netherlands.
Exactly. So you can afford to take risks, hire the person. You will see if it doesn't work out, you can quickly change. No harm done.
Yeah.
You move on, they move on. Here in Europe, it's a lot slower. The whole dynamic is slower, and you see a very different, labor dynamic. You can see the unemployment rates is usually significantly lower in the US than in Europe. And ultimately, it has to do with the mindset. So, I have good friends living in the US who came from Europe, went to US, and then experienced that as an employee, and they were in shock. as Marshall says, from one day to the other, they just lost their job, no reason given. So they were in shock. Now, 10, 15, 20 years later, when I talk to them, en passant, they tell me, oh, by the way, I just got fired yesterday. And I'm like, what? Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
That's okay. I'll find something else. So you see, after a while, even the European mindset starts adjusting to the local. They're not in shock anymore because they know, well, I'll find another job tomorrow.
Yeah.
Here in Europe, if you get fired, well, you go into depression. It's a huge, thing in your life. Well, it's a mindset. So if you adopt, so there's a lot of learnings across borders where you can adopt some of the habits and mindsets of others that could bring you benefits. And that's at any level, at the personal level, at company level, investor level, VCs in Europe, VCs in US, very different mindset. Mm-hmm. VCs here are much more risk averse, which I think is a shame. Any VCs listening to this, you are called a venture capitalist, a DURF capitalist. You need to DURF, you need to take risks, not wait until all the ticks are done and everything is de-risked before you invest. In US, they just take a lot more risk. They lose more, but also they gain more. Look at the number of unicorns.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie. And Leah, I see you nodding as well. What do you recognize of that? Because I know that you also went to CES. Mm-hmm. What's your experience in this?
We went to CES last year and we're going again this year. I fully agree. A very different market, very different environment that you're operating in. And I had to think while you were talking also about our current team here in the Netherlands. Even we have an international team. Even when we take that to the level that we have here with our team locally, you always have to take these cultural differentiations into account. So some employees might feel more secure. They have to get adjusted to the way of working here.
Yeah.
They're used to being treated, or they're used to, a different environment, cultural environment while working. So you have to shape that to make everybody also feel comfortable in an international setting that we even have here locally. When we're talking about the US, as you mentioned, it's very risk, they are daring to take the risks and they're going for whatever it will take. They will be, very direct at the target and really approaching you in a certain way, an approach that we are not used to having here in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Last year CS was really amazing for us because you saw also this differentiation in the way of approaching business and opportunities. And also in the way of following it up is also very different. I mean, they are making the time also to take the risk when it comes to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I see Marcel nodding as well.
Yeah, I was thinking about what she was saying about the opportunity and the risk. Doing business in the US, you get actually only one chance to introduce yourself and have a good pitch. Mm-hmm. By nature, is that they take the decision in the first minute. Is this something we want to work with or not? They don't want to waste their time on you. And we as Europeans think more like, okay, or I can call them tomorrow, or maybe the day after tomorrow. And they expect you to instantly reply. You say, I sent you a quote, send the quote the next day, or at least a message, thanks them. thank them. It's important to keep in communications and be clear.
Yeah.
You get only one shot.
And then it's over.
Well.
Or you win it.
Yeah, but yeah, you have to, because they have so many, it's a big country.
Yeah.
So many people and so many opportunities. And we as, I can say Dutch from here, are not the only one on the playing field there. I used to work for the European Institute of Technology. We had the EU, a lot of companies. But if you look in San Francisco, for example, there, every country has a consulate, but also a trade organization, which is independent of the consulates or the embassies. So there's a lot of moving parts. And for the Americans, it's make the decision now. Don't waste your time.
Yeah. And, well, thank you very much for bringing in your point of view. And I really like that we talked about the difference in mindset. And basically what we can conclude now, I think, that if you want to work internationally, you have to be very mindful of the other culture so that you can adjust your mindset to it. Do you have another piece of advice for founders wanting to go abroad?
So just want to say something, comment on what you just said. You said, if you want to work international, I would say you must go international. It's not a choice, it's a must.
Well, that's a good advice.
that's number one advice. And start already right from beginning thinking of the international or global market.
Yeah.
Especially in countries, if you're launching in a country like Netherlands or Belgium, small countries, relatively, you can't afford not to think internationally.
Yeah.
Right? These are small markets. So from day one, think international, think global. So that's my number one advice.
that's a great one.
I have two, I think, to add to that. So I think that the first one is make sure that you also have internationals on your team, or at least that you're open to the international environment. So it has to be somebody who is going to lead that role in the company that has the experience to do so. And I think in general, it's very important also to make a strategy, which countries you're going to enter to. The world is huge. You need to make those, let's say, list of opportunities, why you're going to enter a certain countries.
Yeah.
Are your companies or strategic partners there? Are the investors there? Why are you making these decisions is very important.
Yeah, it has to make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Marcel, anything to add?
Yeah, I agree. You have to be prepared. And what we do as an Amplify, we do an assessment. It's a list with questions. Are you prepared? How are you funded? Especially if you do software, how is your support set up? As I said earlier, you had only one chance. But be prepared. Do an assessment. And come first, look around, make then your final plan. Don't try to make your final plan from a desk somewhere in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. I tried it, didn't work.
Well, then we can learn from that mistake at least.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, of course.
If we have time. So I agree with everything that was said. I would add to it. So be intentful and deliberate and strategic, and also be opportunistic. So sometimes things come by opportunistically. It may not have been on your list of strategic, intentful expansions to country X, but you just come across a program because one country is just promoting a lot. They want to attract startups. Go for it.
Yeah.
It may be an easier, quicker way.
Try to pivot. Be flexible. Try to pivot. If you see another opportunity, jump on it. Don't stick to a plan that maybe is not working.
Yeah, so be flexible. I mean, have your strategic plans, be prepared, but also be open to opportunistic opportunities.
Yeah, well, I think that's the perfect way to close off this conversation. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Dutch 4TU podcast, and we'll be back with you with another one very soon.
Reach, from science to startup.